I'm going to just tee off of what she was sharing a minute ago on the elevation just before I start my message. I want you to know sometimes you have to go low to go high. Elevation is not always just a straight line. Sometimes you go low to go high. Because why? Sometimes you have to release the pride. You have to start getting humble before our God. Because why? Because He'll exalt the humble. He'll exalt the humble. It's no longer you doing the exalting. It's Him who jumps in and goes, okay, hey, let's breathe on this. And as He does, it just shifts the whole atmosphere around you. So know right now, restrictions are being broken off today. Restrictions are being broken off today. The restrictions of the world system are being broken off today. The restrictions manifested about around the world are being broken off today. In your personal life, they're being broken off today. Hallelujah. We're moving now in grace. We're moving now in grace. Sometimes you're going to get a lot more accomplished in grace than you do in your own strength. Wednesday night, I believe we played that song about the mountains being made low. I had a problem that I was working on, and I'd been working on it for over a week. And I was like, Lord, just make that mountain low. On Thursday, in less than an hour, something that I'd been working on for a week got resolved. I didn't have to go digging and do all the things that were going to be required in the natural. This got resolved. Amen. Last time I talked to was 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. Paul is saying this. He's saying that he worked harder than everyone else, but not him. It was the grace within him. It was the grace deposited by the Lord Jesus in him. And that grace is what was effective against the situations that he was facing. It was that grace that's effective. It's the grace that's effective in your life. And I'm encouraging you today to step into the faith for grace. Step into a faith for grace this day, because God has something he wants to resolve. Whatever's bugging you, guess what? It also will bug him. If you'll step into the grace, it's going to release something over it. Hallelujah. See, faith. Faith is just simply making what is invisible, visible. Taking something that doesn't exist in the natural and pulling it out of the supernatural until it manifests in your life. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So we're going to step and we're going to look for the grace. We're going to look for the grace within us. We're going to look and recognize. Luke 12 and 2, it says that nothing... Before Him, nothing is hidden. Nothing is hidden. That's amazing to know. There is nothing hidden. That's good to know. Also could be a little uncomfortable to know. There's nothing hidden. We talked about when there's nothing hidden, that the Lord is He's very, very interested in revealing your calling. He doesn't want to keep it hidden. He wants whatever that is to come out to the forefront in your life, to come out to the forefront in your destiny. There's nothing hidden. But also, if there's sin in your life, guess what? It's really not hidden. I know that was a lot of excited amens about that. There's the people just going, yes, amen. You know, probably the best thing that ever happened to me was I had a gentleman who was a prophet, and he got involved in my life and became a mentor of mine. The amazing part was he called me out. The very first time that I ever met him, he began to speak to me and tell me, what about me? And he began to tell me about how I was speaking to Kim. And it was amazing. It's like, but what I was left with was the understanding that I can do better. What I was left with was the understanding was that there are people out here who can see into my life. And I wasn't always comfortable with that at that moment. But it did just put me on a trajectory. It's like, if these people can see into my life, then let me get my life cleaned up. Let me get my life right. I don't mind if you see into my life when everything's good. Right? Do you mind if somebody sees in your life when everything's good? But when things weren't good, I was like, oh, that's got to shift and that's got to change. Glory to God. in that process of engaging that, I began to see and learn some things. I want you to understand that we have the opportunity to embrace a new walk. We have the opportunity to embrace new life. And we're right back to the word grace. See, because see, one of the other things that's not hidden is His grace. When that grace is not hidden, now that means that I can start manifesting what God has already set aside for me. When I'm embracing His grace, I can begin to have something in my life that's going to take me further than what I can do on my own. It's going to remove from me things that I couldn't remove on my own. It's going to take me into new situations I had no place and no part being. It's going to reveal things for me that I would not otherwise have access to. Grace starts interacting with you. Do you know how to get it to interact more? Honor. Honor. When you start honoring grace, guess what? You start attracting grace. You start honoring grace in your life. What you honor, you will attract. What you honor, what you give pause and focus to, you can begin to receive in. Your honor will make a difference. Their honor will pull it in. I'm going to go to Matthew 11, those famous verses in 27 and 28 in just a minute. But talk about honor, see? One of the things that I've been doing here, I've been focusing on honoring the grace. One of the things that I've also been doing is focusing on entering in and giving honor to that in my life. Out of that, some things have shifted. Some things have shifted in my life. And so that honor, that system of honor is going to work. I had an opportunity to go to a men's Bible study kind of thing. It's a real unique opportunity down in Memorial. And I had an opportunity to go check it out. And so I went there, and at the end, they wanted to give everybody a word. Now, I didn't say anything about me being a pastor. When I'm outside of here, I go incognito if I can. I want to go low and just see what happens. When the guy who, at the end, they basically wanted to give everybody who was a new person there a word, right? So, and they would all gather around you. Well, of course, the first thing he asked me is, what do you do? So then I had to not be in incognito. I was like, oh, that's the only question I really didn't want you to ask me. And so they began to pray about increasing you and lifting you up and whatnot, because basically the theory kind of what behind his thinking was, if you're a pastor, you must be tired, worn out, and beat up. But see, I want to tell you that because of looking and pressing and honoring this, of pressing in, learning how to engage and come into the elevation that we have available to us, I didn't have any relationship to that. There was a time when I could have related to that. There was nothing in me that related to what he was saying. But there was another gentleman who began to quote out of this passage, and something caught my attention. So I'm going to read it to you out of the Message, which is what he read it to me out of, and I've never heard it that before. Matthew 11, verse 27. Jesus resumed talking to the people. But now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and to say. This is a unique Father-Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Father the way the Son does. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, and no one knows the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone who will listen. Then he goes on, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You'll learn to live freely and lightly. The phrase, the unforced rhythms of grace, caught my attention. Why? Because it's the journey in part that we're on, learning how to interact with Him in this way, learning how to rely on Him. It's really coming into a relationship of faith. When you're in a relationship of faith, you can begin to rely on Him and His grace. That's what they're expressing there. When I began to see that, I began to just enjoy that whole fact of how much I can rely on Him and His grace. I can rely on Him and His grace to begin to address the situations I have need for, like the mountain that I talked about last week. I can also rely on it to address situations within me that I might not otherwise have access to. I can use it to also begin to have that this relationship of faith to enter into a greater understanding of what God has for me personally, intimately. Learning to just lay yourself upon Him. Lean into Him. Knowing that I can lean into Him because I have a right to. Because I have a passage to. Because He has a desire for it. It's even greater than my desire. What we see here is He's talking and asking people to start responding in faith. Grace will cause you to respond in faith to the situation around you. Grace will establish you in that faith in the situation around you. Even if you're not perfect. How many of you in here are perfect? I don't see any hands. We're qualified. You qualify. No, you're qualified. None of us are perfect. We're perfect in Jesus. Okay? We're perfect according to His word and according to His promise. But in our natural this self, maybe not so much. So Peter wasn't perfect either. Remember? He denied God. He was always jumping out and blurting out things. He kind of got ahead of God on a lot of things. He wasn't perfect. Even after he got saved and got filled and got Holy Ghost filled, and he still wasn't perfect. But here's what we do know. That rather than, when the time came, rather than reveal the imperfections, God revealed His calling. He revealed His destiny. He started speaking into that and speaking and said, Peter, I know you're thinking about what just happened, but I'm thinking about what's going to happen in your life. And then from my perspective, those things have already been finished. He showed him how to be released into the finished place. He began to speak into his life from what was already accomplished in Jesus. He began to speak into his life from what was already accomplished in his part. Regardless of the fact that even as far into the Bible as Galatians 2, Peter was still going to have his imperfections. But guess what? He's also the only one recorded with a shadow that as he walked by was healing people. And that wasn't just a natural shadow. That was a shadow of the glory that emanated from him. Why? Because there was something that was stirring inside him. What was inside him was being released on the outside. It wasn't just a matter that he was blocking the sun. It was a matter of the sun was coming out into everything that was in his vicinity. Let's operate in that. Let's operate in that where the light starts coming out. Psalm 97:11 says, light is sown as a seed for the righteous. I'll take all that seed I can get. I'll receive all that seed I can get. Because guess what? With seed comes a harvest. And there's going to be a harvest of light that comes out somewhere for somebody at some point. Once it's due time and due season for that seed, it's going to come out. That's what we need. That's what we need to walk in. That's what we need to have an expectation for. But it's got to come by grace, because there's nothing you can do to make a harvest of light come forth. I might want to stand here by Tina all day, but unless the Holy Ghost does it, there's nothing I can do in the natural to make her receive unless the Holy Ghost does it. He wants to cause us to overshadow the situations we're walking through. So you're more aware of what's inside you than you're more aware of what's going on around you. Sometimes we need to know that, you know, because people can see into our life, we need to know and how to rely on God in that. I remember, this doesn't happen all the time, fortunately for you guys. But I remember walking by our worship team when we had live worship. And the Lord said, this one's in adultery. And I was like, oh, I don't want to know that. But it was actually turned into a beautiful thing. See, I went and I was like, okay, well, if that's the case. And I said, because I'd learned this trick, right? I always asked the Lord, well, what do you want me to do about it? So I asked the Lord, well, what do you want me to do about it? And he said, I want you to address it. And I was like, that's not the answer I was looking for. So I went and made me a list. I had two yellow legal pad sized pages full of all my arguments before I started. I brought the person in my office there with a witness, and I said, here's what the Lord says. The response was, oh, thank God, somebody to stop me. And thus began this wonderful fellowship and relationship. I took everything on that page and I would just went, threw that in the corner. And then we just began to engage God. There's something that happens when we have the opportunity and you start moving in grace. George cracks me up. Because of all the messages I've ever taught, the one he remembers is when I was speaking about driving. And I was speaking about maniacs and morons. And you know how you know the difference, right? Because the assumption is, I'm going the right speed. So therefore, if you're going faster than me, you must be a maniac. If you're going slower than me, you must be a moron. Because it's all about, I'm doing the right thing, and everybody else is not doing what they need to be doing. Me, 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 me. But see, I have a new story where I'm not the main featured artist here. And so the other day, I was coming, leaving church and going towards the house. And as I was going towards the house, over on 1960... somebody just came zooming down to about 50 miles an hour down the left turn lane. They got out in front of me, which was, you know, you're not supposed to be passing me in the first place. So you know where that puts them, all right? They got out in front of me, and then they got there just as the light turned green. They got to the intersection, and they darted over in front of the person who was in the straight lane, and then went straight. And they got by with it. No one hit them. And there was a lot of honking. But no one hit anybody. And so later, I come up to an intersection and I realize, I know this person. So I'm sitting at the intersection and I'm like, hey, where are you? Are you out of here? And got the answer, yes. And then as soon as I got a yes, then the next thing was that they texted was they were fussy because somebody had cut them off. In that process, I just very innocently asked, you mean like driving down the left lane and then cutting over right in the middle of the intersection into the straight lane? And they were like, oh, you saw that? How much does this show so many dynamics about how we are? It shows so many dynamics about how we are. Because see, they were fussy about somebody who cut them off with absolutely no remorse or recognition that they'd cut somebody else off. But the neat thing about it was later I got a text that said, I'm driving safer because I'm looking at everybody else in the car and assuming it's you. That's Hebrews 4:13. Let's go to Hebrews 4:13. So much of that you recognize in that story. It's funny and it's actually true. And for a chance, for one moment, it's at least not me doing it. But the deal is that so much of that is so much how we are. We're so aware of how others have hurt us, how others have offended us, but we're very rarely aware of how our actions are hurting or offending somebody else. We're very rarely taking advantage of what could happen. We're very rarely even taking into account. When I do marriage counseling, very rarely is either party understanding of the damage they're doing to the other party. They're so caught up in, this is me. This is what I need. And the reality is, so many times, what they both need is the same thing. But they don't seem to honor one another. So I know that was kind of a sobering moment there, yeah. Right here, Hebrews 4:13. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I've talked about this many times. And for me, this is my safety. At first, it was the scariest verse in the Bible. But now it's my safety. Why? Because I'm trying to live my life not according to whether Chuck's in the car next to me, but according to whether Jesus is in the car next to me. And is Jesus in my car? That's about to be my first consideration. Because I can only start representing kingdom when I start having a kingdom aspect or a kingdom outlook. So the question then becomes, how are we impacting kingdom? But here, I want you to understand something. When God is looking at you, he's not trying to create judgment. He's not trying to create condemnation. Why? Because this The chapter didn't end here at verse 13. Look at verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold our confession. What does a high priest do? A high priest intercedes for the people. A high priest goes in to the Father on your behalf. A high priest says, he's not looking to judge you. He's looking to inform you. He's looking to change you, transform you, and draw you into a new relationship. He's doing all these things. As he does these things, he's making a new template available to you. And so we know we have not a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near, draw near, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have spoken about the place called done, where what you have need of and the change you're looking for, it's already completed. It's already completed. What this is help to enforce the victory. Grace comes alongside you to help you enforce the victory. And he's looking and he's releasing a victory for you before you even get there. But he wants you to enforce the victory. See, as I read that, or as I talked about that, some of you probably felt condemnation or guilt. But let me say this, there's a difference between obligation and relationship. Difference between obligation and relationship. And the difference can be measured in this. Is like, for example, in this room right now, there are people who read the Word and they read it daily. And we all know to read it daily. And there's some who haven't. But when you think about it, does that make you feel guilty? Or just make you feel hungry? Thirsty. If it makes you feel guilty, you're responding in condemnation, which was never the design. But if it makes you feel hungry, thirsty, that's what God is actually creating in you. He's drawing you to himself. He's giving you access to himself. And the other things that were there is something you need to shake off and go, devil, you can't have it. It's not who I'm going to be. See, that's how we enforce the victory, is stand in the access. The key to knowing that God is watching but not judging is realizing that the one who is seeing it is also the one who is healing it. And you just got told that right there in that verse. The one who sees it is also the one who heals it. And so as he's doing that, he's releasing something before you that helps you to overcome whatever it was. We don't have to be locked into a particular result, the result, unless it's the result God is showing you. I understand about addiction and I understand about those things that were spoken about earlier. Fortunately, in those days, fentanyl didn't exist. But God has a better answer for us. He has a better answer for us. He has a better capacity for us. He has a way, and that's called bringing, giving you the opportunity to come in and engage him. Instead of trying to work it out by yourself, it's a matter of stepping in and cooperating with him. That means that's when we start going lower so we can go higher. All that's required is for us to believe. I'm going to run this by you real quick. Romans 5, verse 2 tells us about this access that we have in him. But that word access actually means admission. That admission that we have into him. If you have a ticket for admission, what do you have? Access. You have a right to access. I paid $20 for this ticket or $100 for this ticket, whatever they are now, and I have a right of access. Guess what? That access wasn't supposed to be a temporary thing. That ticket generally is going to be good for one event. You go to the concert once and that's it. Access is different. That word that they use for access there comes from two Greek words, and the first one is G72, meaning a mode of living or a manner of life. In other words, it's something that's supposed to be continually ongoing in my life. It's not just something that happened once. It's something that happens continually forever. Because guess what? If Holy Spirit's with me now and forever, I got access. Not just on this side of the veil, but on that side of the veil. My access is complete. And it's the other word it's made out of is G48:17, and it says to bring one to God, to draw near. It's also used as a nautical reference meaning when a sailor is approaching land, he actually sees the land approaching him. When from a boat, if you're approaching land, and I've been out in the middle of something, and it's like, when you start approaching land, it looks like the land's coming to you. Guess what? Your Heavenly Father's coming to you. He's coming to you. Just as much as you're approaching Him, He's coming to you. And that's something that we can count on. But it's not just a temporary one-time thing. It's a continually ongoing access that we have in Him. It's a right that you have for admission. It doesn't get taken away. So go with me as we wrap up. I'm going to just go to Acts 17. In Acts 17, we find a very common scripture. Because I just began meditating that particular scripture. Verse 27 says, they should seek God. And this is Paul, and he's speaking in Athens. He's speaking to all these unsaved, unsanctified Philistine kind of people. He's speaking to a whole bunch of Greeks, okay, who don't know Christ, and they're worshiping other gods. And yet he says this, that they should seek God if perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him, though He's not far from each one of us. You know what He just said there? He didn't say He's not far from those who sit in church. He said He's not far from any one of us, no matter where we're at. No matter what you got going on in your life, He says, I'm right here if you'll just approach Me. That's good news for somebody. And for in Him we live and move and have our being. I want you to meditate this with me a moment. If He's in me, and I'm in Him, what do people see? If He's in me and I'm in Him, what are people affected by? When I started seeing that, and I began to realize that the testimony of Jesus was in me, and that testimony was closer to me than the testimony of anyone else. When I began to see that the testimony of Jesus was in me and closer than the testimony of anyone else, guess what? That sets you free from the fear of man. There can be no fear of man if the thing that's closest to me is the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of His love. The testimony of His righteousness. I need a Jesus. Now, if Jesus is standing there, and I'm in Jesus, what do you see? What do the people in front of me see? They see Jesus. So that means when I'm approaching a situation and I'm not comfortable with, I have Jesus in front of me to deal with it. When I'm in a situation I don't know how to respond, I have Jesus in front of me to deal with it. If there's something in me that doesn't know how to go, what's going on around me, then there's Jesus in front of me. So they see Jesus. Why? If I'm interacting with somebody, they get Jesus. They don't get Chuck the bear coming at them. They get Jesus. And y'all can say yay for sure on that, because they're going to get Jesus. But here's another factor. It's I'm in Jesus, and Jesus is in me. I get hugs anytime I want. I get loved anytime I want. I have an access anytime I want. If I feel anything that is not God, I have Him to reassure me in that moment. So if you feel intimidated or powerless, guess what? They get Jesus. If you feel unsure about how do I deal with this situation, just turn around and get another hug from Jesus until you're ready. You know how much that changes your confidence in the world around you and in yourself? when you start receiving from the Lord in a constant basis, when you start interacting and encountering Him on a constant basis, you know in that moment that you're loved and that you have a sanctuary with Him and it's available to you anytime just simply by going, I'm in you and you're in me. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be complicated. You said I could be with you where you are. So, Lord, you're my door, and I'm just stepping through this door, and I'm going to come to the Father with you. And that sin that I just had on my life a moment ago, it doesn't have any place because all the Father gets to see is Jesus. I can be free. You can be free. We all can be free. We all can walk in the love that He's made manifest for us. Amen? One last thought. The other night, Sharon just said this. I don't remember if you just quoted it or you read it, but Revelation 4:1, where the Lord, He addresses John, and He says, come up here. And we see in verse 2, immediately he was in the Spirit. I want you to understand something. Not only was he in the Spirit, immediately, without delay, but he wasn't even in the same time period. Because he was immediately in the Spirit, but immediately also encountering the things that we see in Revelations, things that have not yet even happened yet. Things that were at least 2,000 years ahead of his day, he was immediately transported into. When she said, come up here, something in my spirit, I just saw heaven open up here. And as heaven opened up here, I saw this brilliant stare out of light that went up to him. And I got invited to come up with him. I was distracted from most of the rest of her service because I kept getting pulled back into that. She would try to talk and I was like, but I got pulled back into that. He wants to encounter us really bad. He wants to encounter you with everything that he has and he's made it plain to us. And guess what? I'm changed. You're changed. We're changed when that happens to us. So know that it's in an instant at times when we let our flesh go low so we can go high. Amen? God bless you.